Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
To talk now about the by-election in Dublin Bay South, which is now on the cards in the coming months. But what does it all mean, I wonder, for the government parties, and how will an election be fought while we are still in the COVID pandemic? I'm joined now by Teresa Reedy, who's political scientist at UCC, University College Cork. Teresa, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac.
Do you think this is a significant by-election?
Oh, I think this is a very notable by-election. It's a government TD that's stepping down, and this is a really pivotal constituency, often a weather vane constituency that we look to see how the winds of party politics are flowing in ordinary times. So I think there'll be a lot of stake here for the different political parties, and indeed in part because of COVID times it will get quite a lot of additional attention as well, because other parts of politics are more low-key at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now it's Eamon Ryan's in the constituency, the Green Party, Chris Andrews of Sinn Féin, Owen Murphy is departing from Fine Gael, Jim O'Callaghan as well, Kate O'Connell, Kevin Humphreys, Sarah Durkin. We can go down the list of the last election, but it's a tricky one, this by-election, isn't it, for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil? And I was kind of alluding to that with Patrick O'Donovan. They are now coalition partners together. They fight political wars together against the opposition. But in this by-election, they'll have to tell people they're very different.
Absolutely, but parties have often been in coalition together and had to fight elections and by-elections as separate political parties, and so it won't be entirely different. I think the context to this is that, generally speaking, governments don't win by-elections. It's difficult because they're often taken as a type of referendum on the performance of the government in any given day. So I think that adds a little bit of pressure to the two bigger parties in government. For Fine Gael, this is their seat, essentially. Owen Murphy is stepping down from politics on behalf of Fine Gael, so there'll be an impetus for them to hold that seat. And there are particular other things going on in the background here for Fine Gael. This is one of the kind of constituencies where there's a long history for the party. It's connected to former party leaders. They also have a very high-profile losing incumbent from the last election in the form of Kate O'Connell. And in a complicated way, she's not that close to the leadership. She didn't get the nod to run in the Shannon election. But Fine Gael has real issues in relation to the gender balance on its platform, and that's something that they're going to have to consider.
What do you mean? Spell that out for me.
They only barely made it to the gender quota at the last general election, required to have 30% from either gender. And, you know, they were late, last-minute additions, which helped to get them to the gender quota. And I think we have to keep in mind as well that the gender quota potentially, depending on when the next election is, will rise to 40%. So getting more women onto tickets and making it more likely that women are going to win seats for the party is going to be a crucial priority for them.
And Leaver Anker, I suppose, kind of nodded to that today at a press conference. He was saying that the local grassroots will choose a candidate, and he said, "I will support that candidate wholeheartedly." But alongside him was Catherine Martin, who's deputy leader of the Green Party, and she was saying she'd like to see a female win the seat in the constituency. Now, we all know, Teresa, what happened with the chair of the Green Party, Hazel Chew, went against the wishes of Eamon Ryan, who's the leader of the Green Party, and she stood in a recent Shannon election as an independent. Well, you couldn't write this stuff, could you, in a way? She now will have to ask Eamon Ryan, presumably, if she can run in this by-election in his constituency.
Well, this is why this by-election is going to be so interesting, because there are so many lines of politics and party politics running through what's going to happen on the ground. What's interesting is this is the only constituency where the Greens actually considered having two candidates at the 2020 general election, because Eamon Ryan was so high profile and there was a, you know, Green Party wave of support. Now, in the end, they decided against that, but they now have an opportunity to bring along a candidate who could do particularly well, for example, at the next general election. It would help with succession planning within the party. But of course, Hazel Chew is on the other side of this kind of schism within the Green Party, mm-hmm. which is rooted in much more complex politics to do with the overall direction of the party. Now, in most of these political parties will run selection conventions, so the members will have a role to play, but they're going to be very hotly contested, and there's going to be a lot of observation of what happens, and then I think people will read a great deal as well into the consequences in the first instance of those who are chosen to contest the election, and then of course in the outcome of the by-election itself.
Is there a chance that Sinn Féin could win the by-election seat here? Because Chris Andrews has a seat, doesn't he? And they got 16% or more, just a little bit over of the first preference vote in the last election. Do they have a chance here?
Well, I think you couldn't discount them entirely. In fact, Chris Andrews did extremely well in 2020, and the Sinn Féin support there surged like it did in so many other constituencies. This is not what we might say from a socio-demographic point of view of the profile. It's not natural Sinn Féin territory. So I think you'd probably say they're in the hunt for the seat, but it probably would be quite a coup and maybe a bit have a step too far for them to take this seat, albeit that Mary Lou MacDonald is, a Dublin-based leader, and will certainly, Sinn Féin will certainly be seeking to put in a good performance here, and it will tell a lot in terms of their current poll ratings. They don't have a lot of high-profile candidates on the ground in this area. Their 2019 local elections weren't very good for them, so they don't have obvious candidates, I suppose, to choose from, but still in all, there's a lot of play for them as well.
Mm. And what about the question or the text from a listener that the public in 2020 voted for change, and in the way, whatever way the negotiations went, that listener felt that they didn't get the change they wanted. It's very hard to gauge how that mood, if that mood still holds at this by-election.
Yeah, I think you need to unpack that a little bit because, the public doesn't really vote for governments. The public votes for political parties and candidates, and then we make an assessment afterwards based on the collective performance of all of those groups. I mean, the opinion polls that we have from after the election, the post-election study, tell us that the government that was formed did have majority support. And of course, clearly it was able to mount a majority in the Dáil. So we have to be a little bit careful about how we kind of interpret. Each individual, of course, is entitled to their own assessment, but you can't expand that to the final outcome of the election.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big shadow in the constituency as well, in the houses of the Oireachtas Tríosa. You probably know who I'm talking about. It'll be some crack if Michael McDougall puts on the football boots again, won't it?
Well, he's an outside challenger. He didn't run in 2020, so he's currently a senator, but I think people will be looking in that direction, but it would be quite the surprise if he is to enter the fray. There are other high-profile candidates as well, question in relation to Labour, whether Ivana Bacic joins, given that Kevin Humphreys is actually in this constituency.
I think Team Ivana is already up and running, is it not?
Well, there had been suggestions she was moving in that direction in any case, but again, this is what I'm saying in relation to this constituency. There are a lot of very high-profile people in here, and people will be looking to see the implications. And we haven't touched on Fianna Fáil, where Jim O'Callaghan, of course, is the current incumbent TD, but he's also somebody who's been positioning himself as a potential future leader of Fianna Fáil. Now, a potential future leader of Fianna Fáil is going to have to make inroads in Dublin, in terms of the performance of the party into the future. This is where Fianna Fáil is really quite weak at the present time.
So are you saying this is a bit of a test for big Jim O'Callaghan?
Well, I think certainly people will be looking to see how far he can deliver in terms of organisation and connecting with voters in his area. Now, I think there are a couple of women councillors actually prominent. Claire O'Connell is in the Pembroke ward. Deirdre Conroy, she ran in Dublin Rathdown in the general election in 2020, but she's in kind of the Rathmines, Kimmage, I think his name is the area. So either of those could come forward. So there's less of a gender complication for Fianna Fáil. But certainly keen observers will be looking to see how Fianna Fáil performs here and particularly the organisation on the ground and how that might connect to somebody's leadership aspirations.
They have 6 months now, don't they? they, to hold this by-election and fill the seat. But we're still in lockdown, in COVID times. I mean, do you have any concerns about running the by-election in this current environment?
Well, we have run one election during COVID. Now, it was the Shannon election, and of course we know the electorate is much more restricted there and has a much heavier emphasis on postal voting. But on one level, on one dimension, we do know that it's possible to conduct an election count, and there are principles from the Shannon election that can be adopted. Actually, Owen Murphy, interestingly, is one of the people who actually began to set the ball rolling on these points in relation to elections under COVID. Mm-hmm. There is a bill before the Oireachtas at the moment, which is the general scheme on the establishment of an electoral commission. It's actually just at pre-legislative scrutiny, and that includes provisions on how to run elections during COVID, and it has provisions around voting over a number of days and the expansion of postal voting. Most particularly, the voting over a number of days would require legislative change. Now, it's very unlikely that the general scheme on the Electoral Commission will be converted and finalised in time for any election. So it may very well be that some separate legislation will have to be drafted to deal with that. And again, extending postal voting, I mean, some extension is possible within existing parameters, but if you were to do a significant expansion, there would be implications in terms of legislation. But I think probably the most significant question would come out in relation to political campaigning. And, you know, we have a strong dynamic of canvassing and contacting people at their doors. And
it's tricky. It is tricky, isn't it, in the current environment? Look, I think I have an inkling we'll be talking to you again about it closer to the time whenever the rate has moved. But Teresa Reedy, political scientist at UCC, great to talk to you again.